It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. Today is Tuesday, April 2nd. I'm Erin Fulton with Raven News. The Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery is slowing down after around a week and a half of fishing, and the state has moved to open the fishery daily. During aerial surveys Monday morning, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game observed around 10 nautical miles of spawn in Hayward Strait, Magoon Islands, Promisla Bay, Eastern Bay, Alakutna Bay, Herring Bay, and Redoubt Bay. On Saturday, the herring fishery opened twice. Fishermen caught around 630 tons that day. On Sunday, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced that the Sacro fishery would open daily from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. until further notice. That day, fishermen harvested just over 1,000 tons of herring. As of press time, no catch estimates were available for Monday. Since March 23rd, seiners have harvested around 11,600 tons of herring. In that time, ADF&G has recorded 55 nautical miles of spawn in Sitka Sound. Ketchikan's Low Barrier Homeless Shelter was the subject of an emotional debate at a recent city council meeting. The sticking point is over the shelter's downtown residential location, which even the shelter's management agrees is problematic. The council ultimately decided to extend the shelter's lease through midsummer. But as KRBD's Michael Finelli reports, the issue is far from settled. He stopped by the shelter and brings us this story.
This is where we serve our meals.
On an unusually sunny Ketchikan morning, Deborah Asper opens the door to the First City Homeless Shelter kitchen.
So we serve two hot meals a day. And then on Saturday, we also provide a brown bag lunch.
Asper is the CEO of First City Homeless Services. She says as part of their skill-building program, participants can earn points by helping with things like cleaning laundry and then spend those points in the shelter store.
Then let's say they miss breakfast and they come down and they're like, well, I'm really hungry. And we say, okay, well, you have 300 points. And they're like, okay. So they go to the store and they say, I want to eat this and I want to eat this. And we say, great, that's 60 points. You can afford that. They take it and then they have food.
Asper says the program has taken off, and participants now do most of the cleaning and have a sense of ownership over the shelter. She says it's programs like this that help people build the skills they need to become self-sufficient, skills that they either never acquired or that they abandoned in favor of the survival instincts to live on the street. But the shelter location is less than ideal. Before the summer of 2022, it operated out of a church basement and closed its doors for several hours a day. Then, the city of Ketchikan asked the organization to start providing 24/7 service. Asper says they offered up the Park Avenue building.
And they said, well, if you do this, then we will give you a building to operate out of because of the fact that you're going to be growing. So we accepted and we moved down here and it became apparent very quickly that moving a low barrier shelter into a residential area was not the best decision.
She says the downtown location is helpful, being near the people they need to serve, but it has created tension with nearby residents and businesses. That tension came to a head at a recent city council meeting. The shelter building's lease was due to expire in April, and several council members were unwilling to extend it. Members like Judy Zangi said they felt responsible for creating a strain on the community.
I'm really tired of us ignoring the business people. These are people who pay property taxes, collect sales tax. We seem to ignore them. For me, we're not denying them a shelter. We're just terminating our lease. They can still go and rent another facility.
In fact, First City Homeless Services is already in contract for a new facility, the old VFW building, a couple miles north of the downtown area and across the street from Peace Health Medical Center. But Asper says the property will cost around $2.7 million to purchase and renovate, so they're currently trying to secure grant funding, which is a slow process. She says the building likely won't be ready until the end of 2025. If they're forced to vacate Park Avenue before then, she says they'll have to stop providing 24/7 services.
There aren't currently any locations that we could move into for 24-hour facilities that wouldn't require some type of renovations.
In light of that, City Manager Delilah Walsh submitted a written recommendation to the council that they extend the lease for 2 years with a provision that it would not be renewed again after that. Her memo included written testimony from the city police and fire departments, who both said the city's homeless problem would worsen if the shelter was closed. That sentiment was echoed during the council meeting by member Jack Finnegan. He said without a backup plan, closing the shelter would only heighten the strain on the community.
The situation becomes better for nobody. It becomes better for none of the businesses. It becomes better for none of the residents because these people are not just going to be wished away. They're not going to vanish. They're still going to need a place to sleep. They're still going to need to eat. They're still going to need to relieve themselves.
And that need to relieve themselves is one point that came up multiple times, with council members citing local businesses' complaints of defecation on their property. Finnegan also pointed out that the people using the shelter's services are community members like everyone else.
It's very easy to dehumanize the people that are suffering these terrible circumstances. It's not that they're criminal, but people in desperate situations will do what they can to survive.
Councilmember Zengi said she appreciated Finnegan's comments, but that the city made a mistake in giving the shelter that building, so she simply could not support extending their lease.
I mean, the way you're coming across to me makes me feel like, well, we're bad people. Listen, we represent the entire community, not just that little segment of population that's homeless. We have to think about everybody. And I don't think we've been fair to those other folks. I really don't. I don't think we've been fair to the residents, to the children, to the businesses.
Ultimately, the council settled on a compromise, a month-to-month extension through July 31st of this year. The vote passed 4-3, with members Finnegan, Gage, Kistler, and Flora voting in favor, and Gass, Matani, and Zengi voting against. In Ketchikan, with reporting help from Jack Darrell, I'm Michael Finelli.
March was Women's History Month, and some of Wrangell's fifth graders commemorated it on International Women's Day with a Shadowbox theater production. High school senior Mia Wiederspoon read the Tlingit story Fog Woman from the podium, and Wrangell's fifth graders acted it out with shadow puppetry behind a screen. KSTK's Colette Zarnicki attended the event and created this audio postcard.
My name is Jackie Hansen. I'm the principal of the middle school and the high school, and I am so excited to be here today and introduce our Shadowbox Fog Woman play featuring our high school Tlingit class and our fifth grade students. And right now I'd like to turn it over to Miss Lou Mapp.
So we're gonna do the welcome song now and to welcome you all here, the women bringing you to their hearts.
Today, we celebrate and salute Elizabeth Paradovich and all the women, such as Harriet Tubman of the Underground Railroad, who have stood steadfast in the fight for freedom and equal rights, and we honor their courage.
Now, we will present to you Fog Woman. Raven first met Fog Woman when he was lost in a fog in the middle of the bay near Anangjit of Tsahu. Give me your hat. Raven took off his hat and handed it to her. She turned it over and fog gradually poured into the hat and the sky became clear again.
I am Piper Buness. My mom owns Sweet Tides. I was the main character, Raven. It was difficult a little bit, remembering the part. I think I liked all of it. Because I've never been in a play before, and this is my first experience.
Young Raven said, "What's this salmon you and Gitsinook have been eating?" he snarled. "Where did it come from?" Fog Woman said, "The stream. The slave scooped it up in the spruce root hat," Raven said. "But how did it get there?" Fog Woman said, "Well, that is my secret."
I'm Mariah Carney. I was behind the scenes pulling like the different sets off and putting new ones on. Like the canoe, we had fish on the poles. I was the one who threw the salmon in when it came out of her hair, stuff like that. We actually started practicing this week.
Humiliated by his treatment of her, Fog Woman ran out of the house, never to return. Raven ran after her. Raven chased around the bay, and every time he got close enough to reach her, she turned into mist and slipped right through his fingers. He kept trying, and she kept slipping through his fingers like mist. Then she seemed to drift out over the water. After a while,
my full name is Madison Gillen. I was a drummer, So it was pretty hard to do drumming because whenever the lights turn off, you would drum sometimes and then drum not sometimes. It was cool how she was like running away and they were running in circles and the fog was chasing her and then Raven was chasing her.
We'd like to thank Mrs. Martin's fifth grade class and everybody else that came.
That was Wrangell High School senior Mia Wiederspoon reading Fog Woman, a Tlingit story about Raven who fell in love with Fog Woman. Wrangell's fifth grade class put on a Shadowbox Theater production of the story in March. Taking a look at the community calendar. The deadline for artists to submit proposals to exhibit works to Juno Arts and Humanities Council's gallery is Wednesday, May 1st. Sitka Tribe of Alaska invites all elders to Elder Community Coffee from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. the second Tuesday of the month through May 14th at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Sitka Tells Tales, the local storytelling series, presents Rough Seas, music and tales of harrowing experiences, close calls, and lessons from the sea at 7 p.m. today at Harbor Mountain Brewery. I'm Erin Fulton, and this has been Raven News.